Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, December 21st, 2015. We'd like to thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande. Here are our top stories this evening.
Some opposition parties say the unity accord signed by ZANU-PF and PF-ZAPU in 1987 has not benefited most Zimbabweans.
As the NDC led by Morgan Tsvangirai, we actually are very sad to say that instead of calling it Unity Day, this day should actually be called Unity Day. We see that the country is polarized.
The involvement of the military in ZANU-PF succession conflicts worsens factionalism in the party.
As the NDC led by Morgan Tsvangirai, we actually are very sad to say that instead of calling it Unity Day, this day should actually be called Unity Day. We see that the country is polarized, the country is deeply divided. We even noticed that the ruling party itself, ZANU-PF,
The Health Alliance International has concluded its last obstetric fistula operation campaign in Zimbabwe this year.
And Zifa reinstates a fired coach, Callisto Pasua.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
Tomorrow, Zimbabwe marks 28 years since ZANU-PF and PF-ZAPU signed a unity accord that ended hostilities between the two parties. The peace treaty brought peace in the country, especially in Matabeleland, Midlands, and some parts of the country that had experienced political disturbances. The deal also brought an end to mass killings, with an estimated 20,000 people who were allegedly brutally murdered by the North Korean-trained 5th Brigade. But the MDC formation of former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai says there's nothing to celebrate about because Zimbabweans still suffer from the brutal regime of President Robert Mugabe. Party spokesman Obet Gutu tells Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri, even though his party does not recognize this day, they'll be observing the holiday like all other local people.
As the NDC led by Morgan Tsvangirai, we actually are very sad to say that instead of calling it Unity Day, this day should actually be called Unity Day. We see that the country is polarized. The country is deeply divided. We even noticed that the ruling party itself, ZANU-PF, is in a serious state of fractionalized condition. We see that there is no peace and harmony. We see that each and every day people are being fired from government, the people are being fired from ZANU-PF. We see that there is total disrespect for the values and ethos that Father Zimbabwe, Dr. Joshua Momo, fought for. So as the MDC, we are saying the Unity Day celebration is actually a celebration that should not be held, because at the end of the day, there's no unity to talk about.
Have you ever recognized this day as a party?
As a party, the NDC has never had any reason to observe the Unity Day, in the sense that that unity was supposed to be a unity between the former ZAPU and ZANU-PF. But we also realized that the former ZAPU was actually not united with ZANU-PF. What happened is that ZANU bludgeoned ZAPU into submission through the Gokuyahundi massacres of the mid to the late 1980s in the Matabeleland provinces and the parts of the Midlands. We see that the hero that he was, Dr. Joshua Ngomo, just saw it fit to reluctantly agree to a so-called unity accord just to save his people from being further massacred at the brutal ZANU-PF killing machines.
That was MDCT spokesman Obet Gutu speaking with Studio 7 from Mauritius. Former PF-ZAPU stalwart Norman Mabena says the unity accord collapsed soon after the death of former Vice President Joshua Nkomo.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, there is no unity in this country. You know, parties are disintegrated. When we talk of unity between ZAPU and ZANU, what happened in 1987, well, the Sitimu just accepted because they had high respect for Nkomo. But there was really nothing you could call unity. It was more of a horse and a rider. And the rider, in this case, being ZANU-PF. So as soon as Nkomo died, the so-called unity died too. I was ZAPU and member of the Central Committee, and that secretary for foreign affairs, I was deputized in still in Nkomo. You know you were in this country. So I didn't buy that kind of unity.
Yes, sir, but Mr. Mabena, we see that every time there is a vice president that has to be chosen, they choose someone who was ZAPU, like in the case of Mpoko. What do you mean when you say there was the unity died with Nkomo?
I mean, that's right. Well, you see, choosing individuals who come from this region, well, I think it's just for their own good.
That was MDCT and ZAPU stalwart Norman Mabena speaking with Studio 7. ZANU-PF spokesperson Simon Kayamoyo was not available for comment as he was said to be busy attending meetings.
Hello, Zimbabwe. How are you? I'm Tatenda Gumbo, and I'm inviting you to send us your audio and voice messages about Christmas and the new year. Our WhatsApp number is 001-202-465-0318. Again, that number is 001-202-465-0318. Tell us how you are doing and what you think about this year's Christmas. Remember to tell us who you are and where you are from.
Around this time of the year, Santa Claus bells would have been ringing in Mashingo, one of Zimbabwe's oldest urban settlements, while some new cars and upmarket lounge suits would be gracing many homes. Apart from that, most of the companies normally record a brisk business at this time of the year, with parents buying new clothes for their children. But all appears to be a thing of the past, as our correspondent Gandri Maramba reports.
All is not well for most people in this town, where workers, like in other cities, have been almost living from hand to mouth due to company closures. In some cases, companies have been failing to pay workers as a result of operational problems. For Lloyd Masango of Rodin Law Density Seba, all is not just well this year.
It is a very unfortunate situation when you look at the economic environment that we are in. The pensioners are not getting anything. Vis-a-vis, when you look at the weather conditions where there is no rainfall, by now we should be having some green meals in the fields, things like that. So it also entails that the Christmas is gloomy. People are not going to enjoy anything. Even for myself and the family, I'm not going to get any salary where I'm working now because of the organization or the company that we're in. They are not realizing any profits.
Another resident, Nyarai Makua of Majange High Density Seba, who is a street vendor, says she will not be traveling to her rural home to celebrate the holidays with her family because of lack of money.
For this Christmas, I don't think there's anything exciting for me because I don't have money. I'm just a vendor. But there's no actual business in the streets because the council is always after us. We are always at loggerheads with the city council, so we are not getting any money for our business. So I can't go to the rural area to spend the Christmas with my parents because I don't have money.
Other residents bemoan the harsh economic situation in Zimbabwe for causing untold suffering to their families, leading to the demeaning of the once revered Christmas holidays. Most parents say they won't be able to buy special food and clothes for their children this year. Lucia Masekesa of Rujeko says she is failing to explain to her children that she will not be able to buy them new clothes, gifts, as well as special food on Christmas Day this year, as she lost her job.
I cannot say this Christmas, which is going to be celebrated. Even if you go around, you could see people, they are facing difficulties, because most of them, including myself, I've lost a job. I was expecting to buy something for Christmas for my children, for my grandchildren, but because I'm no longer at work, I don't have money. I can't even explain to my children and grandchildren what I can do for them in Christmas, in during this Christmas time. It's very difficult. Even I think even yourself, you can tell. You can't even do anything for your family, for your parents. It's difficult in this type of economy to celebrate Christmas. We are just praying that if God maybe can give us rain, we are going to celebrate the rain, but there's not enough rain.
Some local people say they are now entirely dependent on their relatives living abroad, who are expected to send them money or goods for Christmas. Those with relatives in neighboring South Africa think that this may not be the case this year, as the South African rand has depreciated against the United States dollar widely used in Zimbabwe. One of the affected people is local resident Tafazwa Makanga.
I'm not employed. Most of my relatives are working in South Africa, but they've since indicated that they cannot come for the Xmas holidays because of the fall of the rand. So I think Christmas will be just like any other day. I would just go to church and pray and come back and sleep.
Problems being faced by Masingo residents appear to be the same to be faced by Zimbabweans this Christmas. Reporting for Studio 7 in Masingo, I am Gandri Maramba.
Thank you, Gandri Maramba. And those of you who responded and sent us your Christmas and New Year greetings, here are some of the ones we have received so far.
Studio 7, how are you? I am Bachi. I am in Shirugwe. I would like to thank you for these news and all these other stories. It's a very good job that you are doing. You are doing a great service to the people of Zimbabwe who are denied unbiased and professional news reporting here in Zimbabwe by both the print and the electronic media. It's a very good thing that you bring to us these stories as it is, without any additions or any subtractions or any propaganda. That's very good for you. I would like to wish a happy holiday and a prosperous new year to these people. In Shabane, I want Mabudi, Filiva, Zimondi, and Wala Wala. In Harare, I want to say happy new year and happy holiday to Baba Theo and Baba Adi. And in Gweru, I'd like to say hi to Mchina, to Makotsi, to Mere, Mchihwa, and all those who know me. And I would like to thank you again for the job that you are doing. Thank you.
Hello everyone, I'm Michelle Zingea from Kwekwe, Zimbabwe. I'd like to pass my greetings to my family in Kwekwe, my mom, Miss Zingea, my dad, Miss Zingea, my sister Lucy, and my cousins Nadia. And I'd like also to pass my greetings to my granny in Gweru, in Ascot, Gokotole, and to my brother Aldridge, and to Shanice, and to all my former students from St. Patrick's High. I wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Love you all. Mwah, 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 mwah.
Wow, thank you. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Back to you. We want to hear from you out there, so please send us your messages on WhatsApp. Our number is 1-202-465-318. That number again, 1-202-465-0318. And we are also on Facebook.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
The Zimbabwe Election Support Network, or ZESNI, which observed the weekend Nkulumani parliamentary by-election won by ZANU-PF, says it is worrying that the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission was using two voters' rolls, one with over 13,000 people and another with more than 20,000 voters. In a statement, Zesni said it is not acceptable in a democratic society as only one voter's roll is utilized in free and fair elections. ZEC chairperson Rita Makarao was not available for comment. The by-election was to fill a seat left vacant after the death of MDCT lawmaker Tamsanqa Mahlangu. MDC formation boycotted the polls that featured ZANU-PF and two small opposition parties.
Coming up,
the Health Alliance International has concluded its last fistula operation campaign in Zimbabwe this year.
And ZIFA reinstates a fired coach Callisto Pasua.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
The embattled president of World Football's governing body, FIFA, Sepp Blatter, is pledging to fight an 8-year ban from all football-related activities imposed by the organization's ethics committee. The three-man FIFA panel applied a similar ban on the head of European soccer, Michel Platini. FIFA President Sepp Blatter was in a combative mood when he faced journalists shortly after he received word of his suspension by the Ethics Committee.
And the European Union has renewed its economic sanctions against Russia for 6 months over its involvement in the Ukraine crisis.
You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
The Women and Health Alliance International, in conjunction with Chinoy Provincial Hospital, the Ministry of Health and the United Nations, has concluded their last obstetric fistula operation campaign in Zimbabwe this year at Chinoy Hospital. The organization assists women throughout the country, providing free transportation, boarding, consultations, and surgeries conducted by international doctors. We spoke to Fortunate Mabande, the National Outreach Coordinator with Women and Health Alliance, who explains the procedure.
It went very well. We managed to operate on about 58 women who had either fecal incontinence or urine incontinence, but it went very well.
What is fistula for some people that may have just tuned in today and want to learn about what kind of operations your organization does?
A fistula is a condition whereby a hole forms within the rectum or the bladder caused by a traumatic birthing experience. By that, I mean you've taken too long before you've given birth or you've been in labor too long. That usually is the end result. You get a fistula where the tissue is now weakened and the bladder cracks open.
So what kind of assistance does your organization offer for women that may be experiencing this?
What we have been doing so far in Zimbabwe as Women and Health Alliance, we've been offering, firstly, transport to bring them to whichever center the ministry has given us to work from. In this case, we are working from Chinoy Provincial Hospital. So we would give them transport from either Kipinge, Buhera, Bikita. It doesn't matter which part of Zimbabwe they're coming from. We would fully sponsor their transport and then would pay in full their hospital bills, including the surgery and the aftercare, which means at least 3 weeks stay in hospital post-operation. We would also provide things like your basic toiletries, because most of them come from a place where they don't actually afford to part with things as simple as a bucket. So we give the basic ablutions on arrival. And we also offer rehabilitation to women who have been repaired. And rehabilitation, we mean for those that are as young as 15 years old, because we've got such patients, we allow them a chance to go back to school, to finish either their ordinary level or some sort of certificate to allow them to be able to look after themselves in the future. And for the more mature women, we also allow a communication program of doing either poultry project or blood making, as long as they're able to assist themselves afterwards. That's the kind of rehabilitation we've been offering post-operation.
For those that may want to utilize your services, where can they find you?
Currently, actually, we are based in Harare. What we do is, as we are directed by the ministry, we just go to whichever center. But we're currently taking calls for all those who've got the condition, and they can reach us on 4779-666-506. I'll take it again, 4779-666-506, or another number, 4782-640-840, 4782-640-840. They can either WhatsApp, they can either text, or send a police call to reply to each and every call, because sometimes these women are so marginalized, they don't even have a mobile phone of their own.
So when is your next program, if there are some listening out there who'd actually like to enroll? When do you have the next clinic?
The next camp is most likely going to be in February. We want to also use the institutions we work with a chance to give their members of staff a rest, because our campaigns are so concentrated. So our next camp is most likely in February, but we can't really say because we've got a lot of other players that are involved. We are now working in collaboration with an arm of the UN, UNFPA. They deal mainly with maternal health care. And we also work directly under the arm of Ministry of Health and Child Care, Family Health. So all those players, they get to tell us this next campaign.
That was the National Outreach Coordinator with Women and Health Alliance International, Fortunate Mabande, in Harare.
The ZANU-PF succession wars are worsening, and party insiders are warning of imminent suspension and expulsion of some senior officials in the Midlands, Manicaland and Mashonaland East provinces. Those being targeted allegedly belong to a faction fronted by Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa. The group blamed for targeting Mnangagwa's supporters is called Generation 40 or G40, that is said to be angling for his removal, replacing him with the First Lady Grace Mugabe or a young tech savior Kasukwere. The political temperatures have reached a boiling point, resulting in President Robert Mugabe telling delegates at his ruling ZANU-PF party's just-ended annual conference in Victoria Falls that the country's military and other security agents were supporting different candidates to succeed him. He warned that this could ruin the ruling party. The uncharacteristic remarks by President Mugabe have only deepened his succession and created anxiety among the people. But what role can the military play in the ever-shifting sands of the ZANU-PF succession wars? Reporter Blessing Zulu examines the role of the military in the Zimbabwe body politic.
Mr. Mugabe cited the military as a major crisis now confronting his party and warned the so-called securocrats to stay in their barracks. Military expert, retired Lieutenant Colonel Martin Revai Rupia, says Mr. Mugabe's remarks are a cause for serious concern.
My take is that this is a very interesting comment in which the president makes the remarks, not as part of his formal presentation, but off-the-cuff remarks, which is quite revealing in that as the country, you know, struggles through the succession, the ruling party, this question has not been settled, and various factions have appeared to be interested in the succession, process. And so his remarks are quite revealing, acknowledging that there are elements from the security sector that are now part of the factions that are part of the infighting. Well, what it means is that certainly for once ZANU-PF has not been able to create a predictable succession plan. That's on the one hand. And on the other is, of course, everyone can see that succession is inevitable.
But the Harare-based think tank, the Zimbabwe Democracy Institute, or ZDI, in a report titled Military Factor in ZANU-PF Succession Politics, has gone a gear up and declared that, in fact, the military actually has veto power in deciding President Robert Mugabe's successor. The group faults Mr. Mugabe for allowing this to happen by not intervening at key moments when the military generals doubled into politics. Rupia agrees that the role of the military has become very central as the ZANU-PF succession dispute remains unresolved. Tracing the involvement of the military in political processes in Zimbabwe, Professor Sabelo Jane-Lovugacheni of the University of South Africa argues that the involvement of the military in politics in Zimbabwe is not a new phenomenon, but has its ancestry in the liberation struggle, as due to requirements of fighting in the liberation struggle, ZANU-PF operated as a quasi-military organization and became a party of civilian nationalist politicians and armed nationalist guerrillas that were highly indoctrinated and politicized to the extent that they operated as military cum political units. Director of the ZDI, Dr. Pedzai Ruhanya, concurs with Professor Lovugacheni.
The military is not intervening in ZANU-PF politics. The military is part of ZANU. ZANU had a military wing called the Zimbabwe African National Liberation Army, ZANLA, and ZAPU had a military wing called the ZIPRA. So those people that you see in the army are either ZIPRA at the leadership level, are either ZIPRA or ZANLA. So ZANLA and ZIPRA are ZANU, and the leadership of both ZAPU and ZANU during the liberation struggle was fundamentally elected by the military. Take, for example, President Robert Mugabe. He was installed into power not through a Congress of the People, but by the Mgagao Declaration in 1975 in Tanzania.
The ZDI report says locating the role of the military in ZANU-PF succession cannot be fully grasped without locating the role of the military in political processes in Zimbabwe. The think tank says, quote, one area that has been subjected to insistent and consistent military involvement is electoral politics. Since the emergence of the MDC as a formidable opponent to ZANU-PF's hegemonic power, the military has pervasively shown its partial nature. This partiality has been manifest in political statements issued by senior military personnel, close quote. On the eve of the 2002 presidential election, the then commander of the Defense Forces, the late General Vitalis Zhinavashe, while addressing a press conference and in a clear statement that was addressed to the MDC president, made the following remarks.
We wish to make it very clear to all Zimbabwean citizens that the security organization will only stand in support of those political leaders that will pursue Zimbabwe's value, traditions, belief, for which thousands of lives were lost in pursuit of Zimbabwe's hard-won independence, sovereignty, territorial integrity, and the national interest. To this end, let it be known that the highest office on the land is a straitjacket, whose occupant is expected to observe the objectives of the liberation struggle. We will therefore not accept, let alone support or salute anyone with a different agenda that threatens very existence of our sovereignty, our country, and our people.
This is taking place despite the fact that the country's supreme law, as well as the Defense Forces Act, prohibit the military from participating in partisan politics or interfering in electoral affairs. Reporting for Studio 7, this is Blessing Zulu. Listeners, please remember to tune in tomorrow when I give you the second and final part of the role of the military in ZANU-PF's succession dispute.
In sports, in a brief, Marvelous, what do we have?
The Zimbabwe Football Association has apologized to Warriors coach Calisto Pasua for firing him with no reasons to back their decision. Chris.
Yes, Marvelous. We'll give you, we'll give our listeners more details tomorrow, so please stay tuned. And now we recap today's top stories.
Some opposition parties say the unity accord signed by ZANU-PF and PF-ZAPU in 1987 has not benefited most Zimbabweans.
The involvement of the military in ZANU-PF succession conflicts worsens factionalism in the party.
And Zifa reinstates fired coach Calisto Pasua.
That's all for tonight, but please remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk tonight. The topic, Marvelous?
It should be Zifa, Zifa, and Zifa.
Oh, yeah, we're talking about Zifa. So give us a call on 202-465-0318. My name is Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanganya Huye, saying good night.